Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
Well, it had to be the happiest day of her life. After 12 years of painful suffering and defiling uncleanness, this woman in Mark 5 is now healed and clean. She touched Jesus' garment. She walks away with his promise of peace. And so it's a happy day for her. So the huge smile on that woman's face, big smile on Jesus' face, no doubt, but not on Jairus' face, the synagogue ruler. For him, the bottom is about to drop out of his world. Jesus stops. They're on their way to heal this man's daughter, and Jesus stops to deal with this woman, and he keeps dragging it out and taking longer and longer. And then it happens. Jairus can see him coming from blocks away. And as soon as he sees him, a few of his friends coming, he knows, oh, this can't be good. This can't. And sure enough, verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking to the woman, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead. And Jairus' world goes black. And they try to get him to leave Jesus alone. Why bother the teacher anymore? Come on, Jairus. It's like in the movies, you know, when somebody dies and the friend is doing CPR and they just keep doing it, keep doing it. And finally, another friend has to pull them off. They just stop. They're gone. It's over. She's gone. That's what their friends are doing here. Jairus, your last ditch effort, go into this outlaw rabbi teacher guy. It was understandable, but it's too late. Now it's over. You just need to come home, Jairus. We already called the funeral home. The whole thing's in place. Mark 5 is known as the chapter of hopeless causes. That's really what it's been, hasn't it? I mean, out in the storm in that lake, when the boat was already sinking, hopeless, right? Hopeless. The maniac at Gadara, it says they tried everything to restrain him. They couldn't do it. Hopeless. Then this woman, she tried every doctor and spent every penny. Only got worse. Hopeless. Incurable. And now the most hopeless of all hopeless and most irreversible disasters. Sorry, Jairus. Your little 12-year-old girl has died. She's gone. She didn't make it. So Jesus overhears the friends telling Jairus, your daughter is dead, leave the teacher alone, all that. But he doesn't say anything. Jesus doesn't say anything to the friends. Verse 36, ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. Fear has been an issue in each one of these miracles. In the storm, remember, Jesus rebuked the disciples for being cowards. After restoring the demoniac, the people were afraid of Jesus and they asked him to leave. Then the woman with the bleeding, she was afraid to face Jesus. Remember, she's fear and trembling and all that. And now, Jairus has to deal with fear in verse 36, where his worst nightmare has come to pass. And Jesus knew this was going to be a blow to his faith. He knew the news about this, his daughter, would be put Jairus right at the crossroads between fear and faith. And Jesus knew he needed to uphold him right at that moment. So he speaks to Jairus, not to the friends. Verse 36, don't be afraid, Jairus. Don't be afraid. Just trust me. Now that's interesting. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what? Don't be afraid of losing your child? That's already happened. Don't be afraid of her dying? That's already happened. No, what he's saying is, Jairus, now that she's dead, don't be afraid of what's next. Don't be afraid of life without your little girl. Because that's what you would be afraid of at that moment, right? You just found out your daughter died. Now you're afraid of waking up tomorrow morning. You suffer a loss like that. When we suffer horrible losses in life, we're afraid of life itself. We just feel like, I can't even keep going. I can't live this way. I'm afraid of tomorrow. I'm afraid of existence is going to be unbearable for me now. And that's how we feel. We feel that existence will be unbearable if we lost, and then you fill in the blank. So what is Jesus saying here? Is he saying, don't be afraid, Jairus, you don't have to be afraid, I'm just going to go raise her from the dead. No, he's not saying that. He never promised to raise her from the dead. He didn't promise to do anything at this point. He's not given any indication whether or not he's going to do a miracle or if this is just going to be a normal thing like everybody else and you just lose your loved one. What he's saying is, whatever I'm going to do, Jairus, however this plays out, you don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to be afraid of what's coming. You see, if you know Jesus Christ, you don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to fear anything. Even if you have the most painful ordeal in your life right around the corner and it's about to happen to you, you don't have to be afraid of it because His grace will be sufficient for you. He'll be enough. Most of our fear has to do with thinking that I'm not going to be able to be happy without this thing. And if you know Jesus Christ, you'll always have access to joy and peace, even in the midst of the worst possible suffering. You see that? We don't have to be afraid if we trust Him. So Jesus steps in right at the moment this man needs help, calls him to faith. Jairus follows the woman's example, trusts Jesus, and then this, verse 37. Jesus did not let anyone follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Jesus and the three, and Jairus and his friends, and they get to the house, and when they get there, it is a zoo. It's chaos. Verse 38. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. And the whole funeral's in full swing already. That gives you an idea how long Jesus took with that woman. That took a long time. It wasn't just a couple minutes. Must have been hours. And yet, there's no record of Jairus ever complaining. He not only trusts Jesus' ability to heal his daughter, he not only trusts Jesus' ability to raise her from the dead if necessary, but his trust in Jesus extends all the way to, get this, Jesus' timing. Which is where it's really hard to trust Jesus, right? Isn't that where we stumble the most? With his timing? So often we have confidence in his power and we have confidence in his love, but not so much in his wisdom. We think his timing is off. He's like, Jesus, why are you waiting? Why are you delaying? I mean, I know you're infinite and omniscient and all that and everything, but why do you think you know better than me on what the timing should be? That's kind of how we feel. But God's delays are important because they place everything into the framework of His perfect plan. And not only that, but they help us discover where our faith is weak. Areas of unbelief in our hearts that would go undetected otherwise. When God delays and delays and delays, we start to see, oh, there's some unbelief there I need to deal with. You see that? Not only that, but it gives them a chance to do greater miracles. You know, you'll see this sometimes in the Gospels. Sometimes when Jesus wants to raise someone from the dead, he has to kill enough time to let them die so that when he gets there, because he doesn't want to do a healing, he wants to do a resurrection. So that's what he's doing here. He does the same thing with Lazarus. Maybe that's why God is waiting so long to answer some of your prayers right now. He wants to do a greater act of deliverance. All right, so Jesus finally gets there, sees this crazy commotion, the funeral's in full swing. Somehow he goes inside the house and he gets everybody's attention. So above all this noise, all the flute players and the noisemakers and the shouting and yelling, he must have had to really yell. And he's just like, hey, everyone, I need your attention. Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead. She's asleep. Now, what is that? What a bizarre thing to say at a funeral. What does he mean she's asleep? What is that? That's a parable. It's a hard saying, right? It's a saying that doesn't instantly make sense. It's a parable. What are parables for? Remember, what are they for? They are designed to teach us to look deeply into what Jesus is saying and to think hard about it. So that we can understand it and to look to Jesus for the answer on how to understand it. Is that what these people do? Do they look to Jesus for an answer and they think hard? What does he mean? No, look what they do. Verse 4. They laughed at him. They just mock him. Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus had asked my advice on how to go about this, I would have suggested a little bit different order of events. If you're going to break up a funeral, seems to me, step one should be perform the miracle, raise the person from the dead. Do that first. Then step two, say whatever you want to say, so then the people won't laugh at you. Well, Jesus wants to say it first before he raises her from the dead. Why? Why switch the order of events like that? Because what is Jesus concerned about more than anything else in people's hearts? Faith. Faith. And when is faith tested? Before the miracle. Before the miracle. Before he brings deliverance. Before he answers the prayer. That's when you know if you trust him. Before he solves your problems. While it still seems hopeless. That's when you find out if you really trust him. You don't need any trust after he takes care of the problem. Now, you might hear this story, and you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, that's great for Jairus and that woman, but that didn't happen for me. I lost my loved one. Jesus didn't break that funeral up. He hasn't healed my 12-year disease. Mine is getting worse. He will. He will. He will when he comes back. At the final stage of his kingdom, when the whole kingdom is established, at Jesus' second coming, he'll do that. There will be no more storms, no more evil, no more uncleanness, no sickness, no suffering, no disease, no death. But not now. The point of these miracles is not to say, oh, you can have all of that now, here and now in this life. No. The point of these miracles is to simply give us confidence that Jesus, when he promises that in his kingdom he's going to do all that, we can take that promise to the bank. We can know that he has enough power because we saw him do these miracles. We can look at the little mustard seed of the gospel and know, yeah, that it really is packed with enough power to bring about the kingdom of God. So we'll just keep sowing that seed. But what about in the meantime? What about now while we're still suffering? What do we do? How do we cope? We cope the same way Jairus coped prior to verse 37. When he was just standing there last week, watching, hopeless, helpless to do anything for his little daughter. Watching Jesus attend to someone else instead of his daughter. What did Jesus tell him? Don't be afraid. What? Only believe. That's how we cope. Don't be afraid, just trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about how much more exciting it would be for all of you if you didn't know how these stories ended. Because it's kind of ruins it. You know, you already know. You've read this. You don't get alarmed. You don't start wringing your hands when she dies and like, oh no, she's dead. Now what's good? You're not worried because you kind of know how. You're not full of anxiety and popping anxiety pills because when the storm happens on the lake and you're like, oh no, the disciples are going to drown and the whole thing's going to. You're not worried about that because you know, even if you haven't even read the story for a while and you can't quite remember how it ends, still, you know, it's going to. All you're thinking is, oh, I wonder how Jesus is going to handle it this time. Right? Just think what a difference it would make if we could somehow learn to read our lives like we read the Gospels. The worse the storm gets in your life, all it does is make you more excited and say, I wonder how Jesus is going to handle it this time. Just like when you're reading the Gospels. You know, nobody ever reads the Gospel accounts and think, what rotten luck that Jesus gets stuck in all that traffic on the way to Jairus' house and he gets delayed and then she dies. Such bad luck. Nobody says that. No one ever sees him land at Gadara and say, oh, wow, what a coincidence that when he came back from Gadara, he happens to arrive back in the country right at the same moment when Jairus needed him. What are the odds? Now, the people back then might have thought that way, but we read the Gospels, we can see this is all Christ's doing. You can imagine Mr. and Mrs. Jairus thinking that way. You see them getting into an argument after their daughter dies. If only we would have gotten that house at the beach like I wanted to. But no, you had to live by the synagogue so you could be close to work. And now our daughter's dead because it took you so long to get to Jesus. And they might have thought that way, but we don't think that way when we read the New Testament because we can see God carrying out his plans. The things that happen in the Bible, they're not good luck, bad luck, fluky, coincidental, none of that. We just read the Bible and it just seems like God carrying out his perfect purposes and his exact timing. And when is the last time you read the Bible and you read a Bible story and you just think, if Jesus just would have timed that a little better, then it would have been so much better. No, It's all perfect timing, right? We never say that. If only we could learn to read our own lives like we read the pages of the Bible, because the same God is in charge then and now. Amen? Providence hasn't changed since Bible times. The same God is in charge of all events now as He was then. He's just as good now as He was then. He's just as loving now as He was then. He's just as powerful now. And His timing is just as impeccable now as it was then. When trouble comes into your life, don't be afraid. Only believe.
Thank you for listening. We pray these principles from the Word of God are helping you find the peace of God as you draw nearer to the God of peace. Maybe there's someone in your network who would enjoy these podcasts. You never know how posting a link on Facebook might change someone's day or their whole life. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and remember that we're a crowd-funded ministry, so every gift helps. Just go to treasuringgod.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.